Shabbat Shalom Umborach, Beruchim Abayim, B'Shem Hashem, B'Simanat Haba. Baruch Hashem, we are tonight beginning a new project, Be'azrat Hashem, the study of the Book of Tehillim, authored primarily by David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom. This is a testament to our Kahal Kadosh that has attended this Motzei Shabbat Shi'ur for many years, and Baruch Hashem we were able to successfully finish a large part of the Nevi'im Rishonim. And as we finished Melachim Bet in our last Shi'ur, we decided to choose a Sefer from the Ketuvim, most important Sefer, Sefer Tehillim. A few heshbonot, a few calculations went into this decision. Number one, Tehillim is probably the most read sefer out of all the books in the Tanakh. All of us read Tehillim privately on a daily basis. Some people even finish the book of Tehillim daily, some weekly, some monthly. But every Jew has a strong connection to the book of Tehillim. Chas v'shalom, if somebody passes away, our custom is that on the seventh day, we have an arayat. Arayat in Arabic, it means a reading, where we read the entire Tehillim. On the 30th day, we read the entire Tehillim. On the year Yotzeit, we read the entire Tehillim. And therefore, Tehillim is a very common sefer in our liturgy. And therefore, I felt it important for us to get a basic interpretation of the chapters. A second calculation that went into my mind was the timing of this shi'ud. As we know, all the sa'udot of Shabbat are corresponding one of the great tzaddikim. Leil Shabbat is sa'udat Avraham Abinu, sa'udat Shachrit is sa'udat Yitzhak, sa'udat Shlishit is sa'udat Yaakov Abinu. And Melave Malka, the Se'udah Revi'it on Motzei Shabbat, is Se'udah David HaMelech. And therefore there is a connection between Motzei Shabbat and David HaMelech. He's the fourth regel of the Merkabah. And therefore I felt it appropriate and timely that on Motzei Shabbat, before we enter the Se'udah Melave Malka, to study the work of David HaMelech. And Be'azat Hashem, this will be a zechut for us, that David Malka Meshicha and the Zechut of the Tehillim that he wrote on Motzei Shabbat should give us extra credit and extra Zechut and extra protection. Now, just as a quick introduction, I'd like to get right away to the chapters, but just as a quick introduction, we are all familiar with the power of Tehillim. Tehillim has a certain mystique and a certain magic that other Sefarim do not have. We read Tehillim in order to heal sick people. I had a rabbi that said Tehillim stands for Tehillim, to make him better, to heal him. In any event, Tehillim is used, and Jews throughout the generations have read it during crisis and during times of pressure and need. Our tradition says that whenever the words of Tehillim are read, David HaMelech's lips are moving at that time, and it is as if he is reading those Tehillim all over again. And it has been said that he wrote the Tehillim for that specific purpose, where he wrote about every potential situation that can happen in a person's life, and therefore a person can find himself somewhere in the Tehillim at a certain juncture of his life, and there's a chapter that's specifically related to his experience and his occurrence, that therefore it's used for that purpose. And we've heard miracles, we've seen miracles, how the Tehillim was used at critical moments in Jewish history, and Bnei Yisrael was saved as a result. One story comes to note that there was a city in Europe in the years Tahvetat, next to the city of Ranchburg, which was a big city. There was a small village next to it that miraculously the Cossacks did not pillage. There was a tzaddik in the town, and it wasn't a tzaddik, we'll call him a a pious man, I guess that's a Satik, and after he had passed away, he came to the rabbi of the town in a dream on the 30 days of his passing, and he said, everybody should leave the town. The Cossacks are imminently coming and they're going to pillage the town and they're going to kill everybody and they're going to burn everybody who's there and they're going to burn the synagogues, etc. So the rabbi said, how do you know? He said, I want you to know, every day during the war, I read the entire book of Tehillim. And I knew that as long as I was reading the Tehillim in the city, nothing could happen in the city, because David HaMelech himself used to go up every day and beseech Borei Olam, leave this village alone, in the zechut of the man that's reading my book from cover to cover on a daily basis. Now that I'm not here to read the Tehillim anymore, the city lost its protection. And therefore we're vulnerable. The rabbi told the people about the dream. Those that listened got out before it was too late. Those that didn't, unfortunately, perished, because the fellow in the dream was 100% accurate. The Cossacks did come into that village and they pillaged it. So you see over here, Tehillim is a protection. It's an insurance policy for our people. It's our weapon that in the times of danger, Am Yisrael always knows that they go to the bookshelf and take out their Tehillim and read it, and that's able to ward off enemies, that's able to protect us. There's certain magic, there's certain kohot, there's certain spiritual energies that are invested in the words of Tehillim, even though they were composed thousands of years earlier, but they still have their ability. It should be noted there is an important Yalkut in the Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, I quote the Yalkut, Itpalel David, Shekol ha'osek b'tehilim, Shiyehe hashuv ki'ilu osek b'negaim ba'aholot. David HaMelech said, those that read the Tehillim, they shouldn't get credit just for reading Tehillim, which is a zechut in itself, but they should get credit as if they were studying the Mishnayot, but not any Mishnayot. They should get credit as if they studied the most difficult Mishnayot in the entire Shas, Negaim and Aholot. And David HaMelech's tefillah was answered. So you have to know, when somebody's reading Tehillim, you're getting not credit for Tehillim. They give you credit for studying the most difficult Mishnayot and Shas, studying them in depth, and we know the reward for that is the greatest, like the Gemara says, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the payout for Talmud Torah is higher than any other payout. But the question is, why did David HaMelech do that? Well, why is it so important for him to upgrade the sachar of the Tehillim? So the interpretation that Rav Shlomo Kluger brings down, Rav Shlomo in his Perush in Tehillim, he says like this, of course, every spare moment we have to spend studying Torah. As a matter of fact, that's David HaMelech's opening chapter, Uptorato Yehege Yomam Valayla. That's David HaMelech's opening of the book. You got to learn Torah all day and all night. But you don't always have that opportunity. David was one of those Jews that was always on the run. One time he was running away from his father-in-law Shaul, which many people have that same predicament, running away from their father-in-law. David HaMelech was running away from different enemies that he had during his life. As a matter of fact, the 150 chapters in the Tehillim, each chapter is another episode in David HaMelech's life, where he was running from and who he was trying to avoid. As a result, David found himself in fields, he found himself in caves, he wasn't always able to sit in the Beit HaMidrash. So David HaMelech said, please Borei Olam, our tradition is if somebody yearns to do a mitzvah, and he wants to do a mitzvah, but he can't do the mitzvah, because circumstances don't allow him, God gives him the credit as if he does it. But that's only if he does as much as he can Then Borei Olam says, I'll give you the credit as if you did the most you can. So David HaMelech said, listen, God, in the times that I'm not going to be able to be in the Beit HaMidrash, at least give me credit when I'm reading the Tehillim that I should have as Zechut as if I studied the Negaim Va'avonot. Borei Olam said, I accept. But David HaMelech was also talking about the Jew 2,000 years away. Unfortunately, in our generation, not everybody is astute and learned to study the Talmud. Not everybody has the brain or had the Hebrew education to plummet the depths of the Talmud and the Mishnah. But every Jew in his heart wishes that he would be able to attend the Shiur in Gemara. He wishes he'd be able to understand what the rabbi means when he's teaching Mishnayot, especially the hard Mishnayot. But he's unable to. But throughout the generations, a Jew was able to open up his Tehillim and he was just able to read it. The reading of the Tehillim every Jew could do. So David was praying, please Borei Olam, these Jews that are not going to be able to do anything else but read the Tehillim, give them the credit as if they're studying the Negaim and Ahalot. Because that's all they're able to do. And the Jews that can study the Negaim and Ahalot are not going to always have the chance to. They're going to be busy. It's hard to study Gemara in depth when you're on a train. It's hard to study Gemara in depth when you're traveling. And therefore, they want to study, but God, their circumstances. So whenever they open up the Tehillim, give them credit as if they studied the deepest subjects of the Torah. Borei Olam acquiesce. So you have to know, reading Tehillim is not just, reading. You are getting a high level of credit. But I always questioned, why does it specifically choose Negaim? Negaim and Aholot. So I heard a beautiful explanation like this. We have a rule that says like this. If a person learns something, it's as if he fulfilled it. A person studies, for example, the laws of Korbanot. It's as if he brought the Korbanot. A person studies the laws of the Ketoret, it's like he brought the Ketoret. Unshalema parim sefatenu. There's certain mitzvot that we cannot fulfill. Last night, for example, we studied in depth the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Hamor. I don't know if I'm going to ever have a chance to fulfill this rare mitzvah. But I know by learning it and studying it, I get the credit as if I fulfilled it. The learning is considered an asiyah. Negaim. You know what the word negaim means? Negaim means blemishes. A nega. That's talking about somebody that has leprosy. Negaim, somebody that gets beaten up. Somebody that gets hit. He has negaim. Aholot is the Mishnayot to talk about tents. Specifically in what context? A mit. If somebody dies, the tent contains the tum'ah. And therefore anybody that goes in the tent will become tameh. So David HaMelech said, please, Borei Olam, let the person that reads Tehillim, let it be as if he studied Masechet Negaim and Masechet Aholot. And therefore, he will be saved from Negaim and from the situation of Aholot. The Tehillim will save him from any personal Negaim, personal calamities and personal tragedies. Because I learned it already. It's like I did it already. I'm covered. I went through my second Negaim already. I don't have to have it on my skin. I don't have to have it on my body. I don't have to get sick. My second Negaim I learned. And Masechet Aholot is referring to the dead people. Hashvashem, nobody should die. I learned Masechet Ohalot as if I fulfilled Masechet Ohalot already. And therefore, I don't have to have somebody die, or somebody should not have somebody die in their family, because the Tehillim is considered like the Negaim and Aholot. So that's where you get how the Tehillim wards off Negaim and Aholot, because it's considered like the Negaim and Aholot. Last but not least, the Meshech Chokmah has an interpretation. Says the Meshech Chokmah, the law of Negaim is the following. Let's say you have a Kohen Ama'aris. Who makes the ruling on a tzara'at? You have a person that has a leprosy on his face. He doesn't know if it's Tahor or Tameh. Where does he go to? A doctor cannot make a ruling on it. You need a spiritual doctor. But not any spiritual doctor. The doctor has to be a Kohen. So you go to the local Kohen. If he's a Tamid Hakam, he looks at the tzara'at, he's able to make a ruling. But let's say he's a Kohen Ama'aris. He's ignorant. Go ahead. He doesn't know what he's looking at. How can he make a ruling? So the halakha says, you bring a Tamid Hakam with the Kohen Ama'aris. You let the Tamid Hakam look at the Tzara'at. The Tamer Hakam looks at it. He says, yeah, this is a problem. This is Tamer. So he whispers in the Kohen's ear and says, listen, Kohen Amaris, tell this guy over here, Tamer. The Amar doesn't know what he's saying. He turns to the guy, Tameh. Oh, Tameh, he's Tameh, the Halakha says. So David HaMelech says, I want my Tehillim to be like Nega'im. Nega'im become Tameh even by a Kohen Amaris that doesn't even know what he's saying. Which means let the words of Tehillim be effective even if the people that are reading it have no idea what they're saying. Even if they're like Amaris, they're just saying words. Let the words find their place in the Shamayim. Hashem Yigmor Ba'adenu, God will finish the Kavanot for us, and the Tehillim will work as such. That's why he chose Negaim, and that's why it's interesting. Always whenever we come to Torah, we always talk about Talmud Torah, Limuda Torah, Limuda Mishnah, Limuda Gemara. And when it comes to Tehillim, we say Amirat Tehillim, the saying of the Tehillim. It's one of the only books where we just say it. You just read it. That being said, it's not a mitzvah to remain in Amaris. It's proper if we can study it and know a little more than we're saying, then Kavahomer, the effect of the Tehillim would be that much greater. If just reading it without knowing it still has such a great power and it's able to protect us as such, could you imagine if we understood what we were saying and we invested in these words, Kavanah, all the more so we can elevate these words. Now, a decision was made again by myself in the style to teach the Tehillim. Unlike the Navi, Tehillim is not a story where you can just read pasuk and give interpretations, and you know there's a link between every pasuk and there's a drama and there's an excitement. To give a literal interpretation for every single word of the Tehillim and every single pasuk can become monotonous and can become boring in a shi'ud as such. Chas v'shalom, it's not boring at all. Every word of the Torah is exciting and invigorating. I mean, in a setting like this on Motzei Shabbat, where we're coming to try to learn something, it becomes maybe a little routine. And therefore, we will try to learn the main gist of each chapter first, reading each pasuk with a quick interpretation, and then try to make a few insights on the chapter, and maybe a few dirashot. So at least when you see this chapter again, when you open the Tehillim, you remember this was the gist of the chapter, and maybe one or two pasukim we highlighted for you, and you'll say, oh, I remember a derasha on this pasuk. Now if you go through 150 chapters like that, at least every chapter will have some meaning that it didn't have to you before this shi'ur. That's how we'll start. Let's just discuss again the main gist of the first chapter of Tehillim, starting with the words Ashrei Ha'ish. And the chapter starts, Ashrei Ha'ish, fortunate is the person, fortunate is the man actually, Asher lo halach ba'asat l'sha'im, that did not go in the advice or in the ways of the wicked, u'b'derek hata'im lo amad, he did not stand where there are sinners, u'moshav netzim lo yashav, he did not sit where there are scoffers or cynics. So what did he do? Ki'im b'torat Hashem hefso. The tzaddik, all his will is to study the Torah of Hashem, u'b'torato yegei yomam v'alala, and his Torah he will study and delve and ponder day and night. As a result, he'll be like a tree that is firmly rooted by the waters, like a healthy tree, its fruit will be produced in the right time, and its leaves will not wither. Everything he will do, he will succeed. But that's not so when it comes to the Rishayim. Ki im kamotz, the Rishayim are like motz. Motz is like chaff. Chaff is the shell of the wheat. What happens to the shell of the wheat? Asher tedefenu ruach, that the wind just blows it away. The Rishayim, unlike the tzaddikim that are firmly rooted like a tree in the ground by the water, the Rishayim, Borei Olam destroys them very quickly like motz that blows away in the wind. Al-Kin, Lo yakumu reshaim b'mishpat. In the ultimate judgment, when there's going to be the judgment, the reshaim are not going to be able to stand because of their wicked ways. They're going to fall in judgment. V'chataim ba'adat tzaddikim. Nor are the sinners going to be able to be in the same place where the tzaddikim are. Because since the tzaddikim are going to be in an elevated place, the sinner cannot stand, obviously, in the future, in the place where the tzaddik is. Ki yodeya Hashem derech tzaddikim. God knows the ways of the tzaddikim. The way Rashi explains this pasuk is, God puts His supervision, His hashkaha, over the tzaddikim, which means God guides the footsteps of the tzaddikim, the derech reshaim tobed, but the way of the reshaim leads them to destruction. So that's basically, if we want to summarize the first chapter of the Tehillim, David HaMelech is telling you purpose. The purpose is, keep away from the bad people, cling to the Torah, and you'll have stability in this world and in the next world, you'll have success. The reshaim are going to wither away like moths. They're not going to stand in judgment, and they're going to ultimately be destroyed. Now, if we may begin our analyzing, the book of Tehillim is a book of praises. Praises to God. Tehillim comes from the word Tehillah. Tehillah is the praise. Some call the book Tehillot, in the feminine terminology. And therefore, David HaMelech, in the first chapter, might be giving us the biggest praise you can give Borei Olam. And the biggest praise you can give Borei Olam is actually in the first two words of the beginning of the book. Yes, you can call God Ha'el, Ha'gadol, Ha'gibor, Ha'anorah. There's many accolades and many terminologies. But the biggest praise you can give Borei Olam would be Ashrei, the biggest praise, Ha'ish, the human being. The human being that doesn't go next to the Reshaim, and does not stay next to the sinners, and does not sit with the scoffers and the people that make fun. And the one that sits and studies Torah day and night, that is the biggest praise. His existence, his being, is the biggest praise of Borei Olam. Mashal, the painter. I come along and I want to praise a certain painter. Wow, his paintings are amazing. They're colorful and there's depth and it's real-like, and I'm trying to get the right word to describe it. And then somebody else is talking about a different painter, and he wants to praise him. And says, you know what? The biggest praise I could give this painter, I'm not going to say any words. You just take out a painting. Here it is. Look, here, this is it. And you look at the painting, you say, wow. No words, you don't have to say anything. The biggest praise you can give a painter is what? His painting. The biggest praise you can give an author, he's this, he's that. There's the book. Read the book. Finish. This is his handiwork is his biggest praise. You want to tell somebody, you got to use this contractor. Why? He's unbelievable. He builds the most amazing things. He has such imagination. He has such ideas. All that is nice. But the biggest praise you can give him is, you say, come here. Look, he built this house over here. You say, wow. Similarly, the biggest praise that we can give Borei Olam is on his product. We are the product. The Ish is the biggest Ashrei, is the biggest Tehillah that we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara gives the story of Shimon ben Shattach. Shimon ben Shattach was one of the Tanaim. He went, he bought a hamor from a donkey. Hamor from an Arab. That's why I said hamor from a donkey. Hamor from an Arab. The Arab gave him the hamor. When Shimon ben Shattach brought the hamor home, he noticed that around the donkey's neck there was a pouch. In the pouch, there was pearls, or diamonds, precious jewelry. So the students of Shimon ben Shattach said, Harav, Birchat Hashem Itashir. Look at this, the blessing of God has made you rich. You bought a donkey, now you got also as a perk, He also got a diamond. Shimon ben Chatach looks at his students. Hamor kaniti. Even tova lo kaniti. So this is a mistake. I bought a hamor. I didn't buy an even tova. Return it. So the students go back to the Arab. They say, our rabbi said, it's a mistake. You must have left it on the hamor. This doesn't belong to him. This belongs to you. The Arab was shocked. He never believed that somebody would be so honest to return it back. He never thought he'd ever see Shimon ben Chatach again. And in his mind, he wrote off that diamond necklace as lost, as stolen. When he saw the rabbi return it, he had nothing else to say except the following. Baruch Elokei Shimon ben Chatach. Blessed be the God of Shimon ben Chatach. Comes out, that's the biggest praise we can give Borei Olam. When we become refined individuals, when we become decent human beings, when we cling to the principles of the Torah, when we follow the mitzvot, and the goyim see us, they say, wow. And who gets the praise? Baruch Elohe. Baruch Elohe Avraham, Baruch Elohe Yaakov, Baruch Elohe David, Baruch Elohe Rachel, Leah, which means when the Goyim or even other Jews see the way we act and the way we deal with ourselves, ultimately the praise is going to be given to Takadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore David HaMelech tells us, listen, I'm about to write my book of Tehillim, but you should know, you are the biggest praise, Takadosh Baruch Hu. Ashre Ha'ish, the human being. There's a story told at one of the conventions that the Hafez Chaim attended. At the convention, what happened? They were collecting money they needed money for the yeshivas in Europe. The crisis was so great that if they didn't collect the money, the yeshivas in Europe might have chas v'shalom gone bankrupt. So they wanted Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski, alav shalom, to go to America to collect money for the yeshivas. Rav Chaim Ozer was old and he was weak. And from his facial expressions in the meeting, it didn't look like he was planning on accepting the offer to go to America. So the rabbis in the meeting looked and said, what are you talking? How could you desist from this obligation? All the yeshivot are gonna crumble. They're all gonna close down. You have to go. So the Hafez Chaim said, I don't understand you people. Yes, we have a lot of important institutions, but no, there's no greater institution in the world today than Rav Chaim Ozer. And therefore, if he doesn't want to go, we have to preserve this institution more than those buildings that they're studying. Rav Chaim Ozer is also an institution. The Hafez Chaim understood that every human being, especially the perfected human beings, the Adam HaShalem, they are the greatest purpose of the world's creation. And just think, how many things did the Hafez Chaim leave us as a legacy? Himself. Mishnah Berurah, magnum opus. We're still using the Sefer today, 100 years later. They just celebrated the 100th year anniversary of the Mishnah Berurah. Happy birthday. But the point is, a great legacy. Shemirat HaLashon. How many people did the Hafez Chaim bring back to religion in his life through his Sefarim and through his Derashot? But we may say that the greatest accomplishment that the Hafez Chaim did in his life was he made himself the Hafez Chaim. The work that he did on himself, that he perfected himself, that he made himself the Hafez Chaim, that's the greatest accomplishment. That's the Ashrei HaIsh that we're talking about over here. So David HaMelech, right in the beginning of the book, gives us a great boost of encouragement. That no, verbal praise of God is nice. But that's the way the Malachim praise God. The Malachim praise God, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Because they cannot praise God indeed. Because they don't have actions, they don't have free will. Therefore they can only praise God verbally. But it says, Nagdishach v'na'arisach kenu'am siyach so tzarfei kodesh. We have to praise God like the Malachim. But the explanation is, yes, we have to praise God like the Malachim, but in a human being way. The way a human being praises Borei Olam is making himself perfected, is making himself an Ish. And therefore it's ironic, you can have a person that's reading the Tehillim all day long, and he thinks he's praising Borei Olam, but if he doesn't transact honestly in business, and if he doesn't carry himself like a person is supposed to carry himself, if he doesn't dress in a certain way that brings a Kiddush Hashem to religious Jews, that's correct. Even the way a person dresses, a person's clean, a person, if he doesn't talk in the proper way, and if he doesn't have the proper courtesy, as we say, Derech Eretz, he might be making the greatest unpraise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, David says, yes, the book is very vital. But don't forget, you are the biggest shevach. Ashleh ha'ish. It is the ish that is the biggest ashleh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if we may say a few dirashot on this chapter, we'll say one on the first pasuk from the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh has a rule. The rule is actually based on a pasuk in Mishle, Perek Yotet, Pasuk Bet. The pasuk says, Gam belo da'at nefesh lo tov. What does this mean? Gam belo da'at nefesh lo tov. Even if somebody commits a sin belo da'at, unwittingly, that's an indication, nefesh lo tov, that his soul is defective. That's a chidush, because you might say, listen, if a guy does something on purpose, that's already a sign that the person is malicious, he's bad. But if a person commits an unintentional sin, gam belo da'at, Shlomo says, nefesh lo tov. So the Al-Sheikh explains why. He has a klal. A person will never come to an unintentional sin unless he committed the sin once before intentionally. Klal. Which means a shogeg is a mistake. It's a lot of times a shogeg is beyond his control. It's unintentionally. He didn't have kavanah. It's something that's beyond your control many times. So he says, it's not my fault. So yes, God will not bring you to a shogeg only if you brought yourself once to a mezid. Which is once God sees the person, you're not careful on yourself, then I'm not going to protect you from the unintentional. If you're careful on yourself, I'll protect you. The Ben Ish Chai gives a famous derasha to prove this principle. We read in this week's parasha, when Avraham Avinu was going down to Egypt with his wife Sarah, so he was concerned that the Egyptians, who never saw a beautiful lady like Sarah Imenu, that they were going to violate her, they were going to, Chas v'Shalom, make a sin. Now, we know, based on this rule over here, Borei Olam would not let Sarah, even against her will, or by force, be taken by these Egyptians, unless once in her life, intentionally she breached the laws of Sinirut. Then already Avraham would have to be concerned that if once in her life she breached it intentionally, that maybe now against her will she'll be subject to these animals that might violate her, Chas v'Shalom. So what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says by Avraham, he tells his wife, Hine na yadahti, ki isha yefa mar'e'at. Now I know you're a beautiful woman. What does it mean, now I know you're a beautiful woman? So the Ben Ish Chai says, Avraham in prophecy now scanned the life of Sarah to see if ever once she ever acted out of line in the laws of modesty. If once maybe she talked to a man, if once maybe she looked at a man, if maybe she did, because if she did, then we're in trouble. So now he looks and he says, Hine na yadati. Now I know, yadati, meaning from the past. Ki isha yefat mar'e'at. Your vision is good. Your mar'e, What you looked at is yafeh. Yifat mar'eh. The mar'eh, the vision that you had till now, is clean. You never looked at somebody you're not supposed to look at. You never acted outside the laws of sin. Therefore, we can go down to Egypt. I'm certain Borei Olam is going to protect us. Because she didn't breach modesty even once. Based on this, the Al-Sheikh explains the first pasuk in Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo alach ba'asat resha'im. What's a rasha? A rasha is someone that commits an intentional sin. It's premeditated. That's why David HaMelech calls it atzat resha'im. Atzah is thought, it's premeditated. Fortunate is a person that never joined the group of intentional sinners. What does the next part of the pasuk say? Ubderech hata'im lo amad. A person that's a chote is an unintentional sinner. Chote is a sinner b'shogeg. So David HaMelech is saying, if you're from the people, asher lo halach ba'asat l'sha'in, rest assured, u'b'derech hata'im lo amad. You'll never come to be a chote. A person that's never a rasha, he can guarantee that he'll never be a chote as well. That being said, we can explain the pasuk in the Navi. The Navi says, Shuva Yisrael ad Adonai Elohecha ki chashalta ba'avonecha. The prophet rebukes Klal Yisrael, Shuva Yisrael, repent Israel, ad Hashem Elohecha. You know why? Ki chashalta ba'avonecha. What does it mean, ki chashalta ba'avonecha? Because you tripped up kishalon, you tripped. You tripped in your avon. Avon is an intentional sin. How could the Navi call an intentional sin a trip up? You don't trip up in an intentional sin. An intentional sin, you did it bekavana. What does it mean? Ki chashalta ba'avonecha. But based on tonight's derasha, we understand. The Navi is telling you, how did you get to avonecha? How did you get to a mezid? Because ki chashalta, you know why? Ki chashalta, you know how you got to the Meshogeg? You know how you tripped up? You know how you sinned by mistake? Ki chashalta ba'avonecha. The reason why you were able to make a sin by mistake and God didn't protect you, the reason why you held liable for ki chashalta, for your trip ups, ba'avonecha, that's because must be you had disregard for that sin once intentionally. Therefore, Borei Olam didn't protect you. For example, a guy on Shabbat one time, he didn't care. He wanted to turn on the light on Shabbat. The mezid. All of a sudden, he got religious. All of a sudden, he goes into the room one day by mistake. He forgets the Shabbat. He turns on the light. Bishogeg. Ki chashalta ba'avonecha. If you wouldn't have turned on the light bishogeg, if it must be in your life once before. A person sat down to eat. He's eating. All of a sudden, after he finishes eating, they thought, oh, by mistake, we gave you the wrong dinner. We gave you the priest dinner. This starif, we gave you not kosher. So what do you mean? I ordered kosher. I'm halal. We made a mistake. It happens. We made a mistake. What are you going to do now? The guy says, Rabbi, how did this happen to me? They gave me the wrong dinner. I ate tarif. Say, in your life, did you ever eat tarif willingly? Yeah, what do you mean? I go out to eat. I eat tarif. There's your answer. Ki chashalta ba'avonecha. Once already you do the avon willingly, you lost your protection. Now God's not going to protect you from these type of events. But a person that's meticulous in his mitzvah, it'll never happen that a mistake will come to him. God will never make an error that's going to land by this person. And that's what David HaMelech. If you protect yourself that you never go in the ways of the Rishayim, rest assured, derech hatayim lo amad. Rest assured that what? You also won't come to be b'derech hata'in. Because you're shomer yourself from the mezid, you will not come to derech hata'in. Now, in this chapter, the next pasuk says, ki'im b'torat Hashem chefso. What is his will? Torat Hashem. He's interested in the Torah of Hashem. And then it says, u'ptorato. And in his Torah, he will learn day and night. So the Gemara says, make up your mind, whose Torah is it? Is it the Torah of Hashem, or is it Torato? There's your Torah, and there's God's Torah, where there's two Torahs over here. Ki'im b'Torah Hashem. His will is to study Torah Hashem. Up Torato, Yomam Balayla. So the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara learns a halakha from this pasuk. The Gemara says like this. Talmid Hakam Shemahal al Kevodo, Kevodo Mahud. A Talmid Hakam that forgives his Kavod, his Kavod is Mahud. And the Talmid Hakam is able to forgive his Kavod. So the question is, how could he forgive his Kavod? The Kavod of the Talmid Hakam is not his Kavod. The Kavod of the Talmid Hakam is the Kavod of the Torah that he studies. And it says in the Pasuk over here, the Torah belongs to Hashem. And Hashem is a Melech. Melech Shemahal al Kevodo and Kevodo Mahud. A king cannot forgive his Kavod. A king has to enforce the Kavod. So how can a Talmid Hakam Mohel? So explanation is, once a Talmid Hakam studies Torah, the Torah becomes his. Before you study the Torah, it's Torah Hashem. Once he studies the Torah, up Torah toy again. Now the Torah becomes my Torah. And therefore, it's my Torah, I can do whatever I want. I can be mohel on my kavod. So there's halakha that comes out of this over here. But what does it mean, hashkafically? Torah Hashem, Torah Tor, there's two different Torot? Yes, halakha, I understand. Nafkamina, it's my Torah, I can be mohel. If somebody disrespects, or somebody says, Rabbi, can I sit in your seat? Mohel, Torah, mahul. Rabbi, I want to pray in front of you. I can? Mahul, you can pray in front of me. Torah Tor, it's my Torah. But hashkafically, we explained like this once. It's not humanly possible for us, human beings, with our limited finite brain, to truly comprehend the depth of the Torah. Why? The Torah is divine. The Torah was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. His brain, his thought, me'od amiku machshevotecha. It's not amok, it's me'od amiku machshevotecha. And therefore, even when we study Torah Hashem, it's very hard to plummet the true depth of Torah Hashem. Therefore, out of respect, David HaMelech says, whatever we learn, it's Torah Tor. It's your Torah. We don't have the arrogance to say that we understand it exactly, that we understand it exactly what God intended, like He gave it from Sinai. Out of respect and reverence to the Torah, Torah Hashem remains Torah Hashem. What do you mean? I studied. No, you're studying Torah Tor. You're studying your Torah. That's the way you understood it. That's the pshat you gave. Yes, it may make a lot of sense to you. Yes, you might get rabbinical haskama that 10 rabbis agree that that's the pshat. It's Torah Tor. Don't think when we espouse Hedushim on the Torah, we should have the arrogance to say, this is what God meant. That's already a big statement over there. You gotta study Torah according to your capability, according to Anshei Yad HaMagat, until your brain fathers. But at the end of the day, you have to walk away saying, Yiratzon, we should be Zocheh. I hope this is the emet. I don't know if this is the 100% truth. Hence there's Torah Hashem, which remains Torah Hashem. And all of our studying is Torah Tor. This is our trying to understand it. Furthermore, the pasuk says, "Up Torato yege yomam v'alayla." It always bothered me, this pasuk, for the following purpose, question, and I saw today the Ben Ish Chai answered the question. The Jewish day begins when? The Jewish day begins at night. Right? So we go from the night in the day. So the question then is, normally we say Vagita bo yomam valayla. Vagita bo yomam valayla, you should study the Torah yomam valayla. Up Torah to yege yomam valayla. Why does it say day night It should say Torah Toyege Laila Vayom. Follow the Torah's system by Yair Vayibokir. I'm reading the pasuk here. It says Uptorato Yege Yomam Valaila. So why does it say Yomam Valaila? It should say Laila Vayom. Huh? The day starts when? 4 o'clock in the morning it starts? In any event, the Ben Ish Chai explains like this. Vadai, Vayayre Vayibokir. The Jewish day starts at night. That's when the calendar changes. However, the Hiddush is like this. The Zohar writes that it's not only a mitzvah to learn at night in the day, but you're supposed to be mehaber yom v'alayla bilimud Torah. You're supposed to study Torah at the time that connects day to night. And that's actually two periods, which means at the end of the night, going into the morning, which means right before, let's say, Alot HaShachar, right before dawn, that's when the day starts. So you're supposed to get up a few minutes at least before dawn and start learning Torah at night and go straight into the day. Then already he says that's the most auspicious moment to study Torah, where you're connecting night to day, and you're supposed to do it as well in the evening, which means a few minutes before sunset, take out a sefer, and now you're being mehaber yom v'layla. Asks the Ben Ish Chai, which of the two periods is easier to do? So in the Ben Ish Chai's world, he says it's easier to do, connect night to day. Why? Because he says, whatever time Alot is, just get up 10 minutes earlier. It's in your control. Get up 10 minutes earlier. If Alot is 5 o'clock in the morning, set your alarm for 4:45. Wake up at 4:45, make it to that Yadayim, say Birkat HaTorah, sit down for 5 minutes, study Torah, read a Mishnah, and it's easy to do. At the end of the day, you're working, you're in motion already. Which means, where are you 10 minutes before sunset? Yeah, you're in business. You're working, there's a customer, you have a phone call. Nobody has a customer at 4:30 in the morning. Nobody has a cell phone call at 4:30 in the morning. Nobody is transacting or busy at 4:30 in the morning. But at night, to stop what you're doing, and now, close the store now, take out a Mishnayot at 5:45, that's very difficult. So therefore, David HaMelech in the Tehillim tells us the more difficult of the two. Uptorato yege yomam v'alayla. Make sure you make the connection of yomam v'alayla. The layla v'yom connection is easy compared to the yomam v'alayla connection, going from day to night. So therefore he's imploring us on the harder of the two. And that's why the pasuk says in another place, im lo biriti yomam v'alayla chukot shamayim v'ares lo samti. The same thing the pasuk there puts, yomam before layla. Telling us, yes, layla vayom, easy. Just get up 15 minutes before alot and learn. But don't forget, in the middle of the day, don't get caught up and preoccupied. Ela wat, v'agita bo, yomam v'alayla. Let's say the Rasha in the next pasuk as well. V'haya ke'et shatul al palgemayim. The Tamid Chacham is like an etz, is like a tree that's firmly rooted al palgemayim, asher priyo yiten be'ito, that his fruit will be delivered or will come out in the proper time. Simple interpretation. What's the fruit? The fruit is referring to the mitzvot. A Tamid Chacham that studies Torah, he's able to fulfill the mitzvot in the proper time. He knows exactly when he's supposed to pray Shacharit, what time is the latest for Kiryat Shema, he knows exactly what time the earliest for Mincha is, what time sunset is, he knows what night he can make Birkat HaLevana. All our religion is time-based. And therefore the Pasuk says, Tamid Chacham that's studying Torah Yomam V'alayla, Asher Priyo Yiten Gaito, the peri, the result, the product. What's the product of the Torah? You're studying Torah for what? Not only for mental gymnastics. You're studying the Torah for a purpose. What's the purpose? Mitzvot. Asher perio yitin bi'aito. But I saw one of the great rabbis explains this pasuk based on a Gemara in Ta'anit. The Gemara in Ta'anit says there was once a guy, and he was walking in the field, and it was a sunny day, and he's thirsty, and he's tired, and already he cannot see anymore. He doesn't know what he's going to do. And all of a sudden, in the distance, he sees a beautiful, big, shady tree. Oh, he says, if I could just get to this tree over here, and I could lie down under the shade, I'm set. He gets there, he passes out, oh, right under the shady tree, says, Shtabashem Walahad. As he starts to lie down, he sees there's a brook of cold, crisp, fresh water flowing right out under the tree. He says, wow, what a tree this is over here. And he takes his hands and he starts to drink from the water. He puts it on his heat-stroken body and he starts to cool himself off. And now he's hungry. He looks up at the tree. He sees this fruit on the tree. He says, what a treat this is over here. He takes a couple of fruit. He starts to taste this fruit. He says, why? I never tasted sweet fruit like this. Now, after he enjoys himself and he revives himself, he's ready to leave. So he turns to the tree and says, Ilan, Ilan, bema abarecheka. He says, tree, tree, how can I bless you? I have to bless you. I want to leave now. He says, you did me the biggest chesed. If I should bless you that you should have good shade, you have already good shade. You're blessed already. Shall I bless you that a brook of water should flow with crispy cold water under your roots? You have that already also. If I bless you that your fruit should be sweet, hare perotecha mitukim. So he says, the only thing I could leave to bless you is that that anybody that takes a piece of you and plants you in the ground to produce another tree, all the descendants that come from you should be like you. All your children, so to speak, should have this. You're blessed already. What can I bless you? You have everything. Your descendants should have the same beracha that you have. That's the mashal. David HaMelech depicts to us in the first chapter over here the tzaddik. Ashrei ha'ish. The tzaddik, he doesn't get next to the resha'im. He doesn't get next to the sinners. He doesn't go next to the scoffers. The man is a sur mera. He keeps away from evil. But not only keeps away from evil, he's aseh tov. He sits in the Bet Midrash all day long and he learns Torah and he studies and he's elevating himself and he's growing. And this man over here, Asher Priyo Yitin Be'ito, he's keeping the mitzvot, he's doing everything in the proper time. What could you bless this man? Yiratzon that you should have, Yirat Shamayim, he has, Asher Lo Halach Ma'asat L'Shaim. What are you going to bless him? You should have Ahavat Hashem. Torato Yegei Yomam V'Alayla. Ahavat Hashem, he has. What should you bless him? You should be Zochet to keep the mitzvot. Asher Periyo Yiten Be'ito. So the only thing you can bless him is Ve'alehu Lo Yibol. Alehu Lo Yibol is what comes out of you, which means the Alim. If they're going to plant the Alim of the children. The children that come out of you, lo yibol, they should not wither. And that's what David HaMelech says, v'haya ke'etz shatul al palgemayim. The tzaddik is like this tree in the story that we just said. Shatul al palgemayim. There's a brook of water running under it. Asher periyo yitin be'ito, it has beautiful fruit. And therefore the only thing we can tell the tree, the tzaddik is, yiratzon, v'aleo lo yibol. In the future, your children, what comes out of you, the descendants, they should not wither. And therefore, you'll be blessed. And that's what we say as well to the Kahal Kadosh tonight that came to this inaugural Shi'ur. Baruch Hashem, what are we going to say? That you should continue to study Torah? Baruch Hashem, you've proven yourself to be loyal to the study of Torah. That you're keeping the mitzvot, Baruch Hashem. That you have Yirat Shamayim, we see you have. We know you have. אלא היא רצון, אלא מזכות היקמת לשיעור, שיהיה סעשאי, סעשאים היוצאים ממכם כמותכם. That your children that will descend from you, בעזרת השם, will be like you in the זכות of David המלך, יגן בעדנו, בורי עולם will take these words of the Tehillim, not only the אמירת Tehillim that we did tonight, but לימוד, Tehillim that we started, it'll be a Melitz Yosher. David HaMelech will take this Limud and Derasha and bring it up to Fikus Sekel. When we remember the main Chiddush I told you, Ashrei HaIsh. We ourselves should become not only carrying the Tehillim with us, we should be a living embodiment of the Tehillim. It's Baruch Hanu'ali Olam. Amen. Amen.